The Supreme Personality of Godhead who is everlastingly independent and who exists in everyone's heart, is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. For he is always dear to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and they are always dear to him. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everlastingly independent, and who exists in anyone's heart, is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. For he is always dear to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and they are always dear to him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the Lord is most pleased when he sees one engaged in the service of his devotees. He does not need any service from anyone, because he is complete. But it is in our own interest to offer all kinds of services to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These services can be offered to the Supreme Person not directly, but through the service of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Srila Narottama Das Thakur sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paya Chekeva, which means that unless one serves the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, one cannot get liberation from the material clutches. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur also says, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. By satisfying the senses of the spiritual master, one can satisfy the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, this behavior is not only mentioned in scriptures, but also followed by acharyas. Krita Maharaj advised his citizens to follow the exemplary behavior of the Lord himself, and not to engage in the service of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everlastingly independent and who exists in everyone's heart, is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. For he is always dear to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and they are always dear to him. So this verse comes in the last section of King Prithu's instructions to his citizens. In the previous section, he advised the citizens to engage in their occupational duties for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Now, most people in the material world do not come here to act for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. They come into the material world to act independent of the Supreme Lord and try to enjoy without Him. So King Prithu advised his citizens that they should follow the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma with the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord. But again, the desire to please the Supreme Lord is quite contrary to the desires of conditioned souls in the material world who envy the Supreme Lord and, in effect, want to take His position. So how can we desire to enjoy independent of the Lord be changed into the desire to act for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord? Such a change is effected by the association of devotees, Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Therefore, Vaishnavas and Brahmanas are most important in human society, because by their teachings and example, they can awaken in people the desire to serve the Supreme Lord. The Lord Himself does not require our service. He is perfect and complete in Himself. But we need to serve Him in order to be reinstated in our constitutional position in our loving relationship with Him. The Supreme Lord, although He is perfect and complete, and He has nothing to do, Natasikaryam Karanatavidyate, He has no duty to perform. Whatever He wants to achieve is done by His energies. He personally does not have to do anything. But still, He acts as an example for others, for us. Yad yad acharati shrestas. Whatever the great people do, the others follow. And the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all persons. And for our benefit, He sets the example by following Varnashram Dharma, and specifically, as mentioned here, by serving and worshiping Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. There are many examples when the Brahmin Sudama came to visit Lord Krishna in Dwarka. Lord Krishna personally washed his feet, the Brahmin's feet, and seated the Brahmin on his own bedstead. Similarly, Lord Krishna would offer respects, offer obeisances to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And King Yudhisthira's mother, Kunti. There is no need for him to do such things. Another example is Narada. When Narada came to visit Lord Krishna in Dwarka, Lord Krishna got up from his throne and seated Narada on his throne and worshipped him. Now, in all of these cases, there is no need for Krishna to do that. Narada, Sudama Vipra, Maharaj Yudhisthira, Queen Kunti, they knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna did it to set an example for us. And not only to set an example for us, but out of love for his devotees, out of affection and appreciation for his devotees who are so dear to him. And that is an example that he wants us conditioned souls, or Pritha Maharaj wants his citizens. His citizens included everyone in the world to follow. Now, there is an incident in the Ramayana in which Lord Ramachandra, when he was moving south in India towards Lanka, came to Rameshwaram and worshipped Lord Shiva. So ignorant people think that this incident proves that Lord Shiva is supreme, that even Lord Ramachandra worshipped Lord Shiva. But such ignorant persons do not know that the Lord likes to worship his devotees. Lord Shiva himself is a devotee of Vishnu, or Krishna, Ram. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Lord Shiva is the greatest of Vaishnavas. And so, Lord Ramchandra, he took the opportunity to worship his devotee, because the Lord takes pleasure in serving his devotees. Just like in Calcutta, there was an incident. Achyutananda Swami met our landlord, who was a Bengali gentleman who had his own ideas about spiritual life. This is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Everyone
have their own ideas of spiritual life. And his idea, as he expressed it to Achyutananda Swami, was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the origin of Radha and Krishna, and that he is greater than Radha and Krishna. And he gave the example that there is milk and sugar, but Rasgulla, which is made of milk and sugar, is greater than either milk or sugar. So he would say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is greater than Radha and Krishna. So we were new in India. Even Achyutananda Swami, although he'd been there a little longer than most of us, he also didn't know how to respond, so he brought the matter to Srila Prabhupada. Who comes first? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Radha and Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada replied, Radha and Krishna, the same example. First, milk and sugar exist, and then they combine to form Rasgulla. And then Achyutananda Swami asked him, who is greater? Who is greater? Prabhupada paused for a moment, and then he replied, Srimati Radharani, she is the greatest. And then he pointed to a picture on his wall which showed Srimati Radharani sitting on an elevated platform and Lord Krishna sort of kneeling at her feet, begging her to forgive him for his misdeeds and accept of it. Of course, this is a very esoteric topic. Srimati Radharani's mom, her sort of jealous anger, when... Anyway, it's a very elevated topic, but the conclusion is that Krishna was kneeling at her feet, begging for her mercy. Then Srila Prabhupada said, Nanda Maharaj is the greatest. And he pointed to another picture on the wall that depicted Devi Krishna carrying Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. And then he said, the devotee is the greatest. So, of course, no one can be greater than the Lord, by definition. No one is equal to the Lord and no one is greater than him. But in the transcendental exchange of humors, the Lord accepts the devotee as greater than him, and he enjoys serving his devotee, being in a subordinate position to his devotee. So if the Lord, this is the conclusion, that if the Lord is ready to serve his devotees, worship his devotees, then what to speak of us, insignificant living entities? How much more we should be eager to serve devotees. Now, in the purport Srila Prabhupada has quoted some important statements from our acharyas. This is a very important point, that there are three authorities that guide the followers of Vedic civilization, or guide any religious person. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya. So Shastra, or scripture, is the central point. And sadhus, they live their lives according to the scriptures. Sadhus means saintly persons. They live their lives according to scripture. And the guru, he also lives his life according to Shastra, and he instructs his disciples in accordance with Shastra, and he teaches them or trains them to act according to Shastra. But sometimes we may come across apparently contradictory statements. We may come across contradictory statements. So we have this system of checks and balances. That, okay, Shastra says this, but do we really follow it? Is it really an active principle or an important principle? So we find that out by seeing whether it is followed by acharyas. Acharyas are in the category of sadhu. It's one of the principal sadhu marg, vartmanam, to follow the sadhu marg, the path of the previous acharyas. And then the immediate acharya is our spiritual master. So, we find the same principle in Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's Guru Vastakam. Yasya sakshad hari tvena samasta shastrai. That one should worship the spiritual master on the same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshad hari tvena samasta shastri. Samasta shastri means it is stated in all scriptures. Uktastata bhavyata eva sadhi, and it is also followed by all authorities, sadhi, sadhus. So it is advised in the scripture, and it is followed by the authorities. So here, Srila Prabhupada is following the same principle that in so many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Shastra, King Prithu is advising us to worship and serve Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that not only does Shastra tell us to do so, but the previous acharyas also tell us, and they also show us by their own example. Now, last Sunday we discussed that if someone follows all of the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma but is not Krishna conscious, he will go to hell. This is a very shocking statement. And the explanation is that we are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. All the different social orders are parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord. The Brahmins come from his head, the kshatriyas, his arms, the vaishyas, his belly or thighs, and the shudras, his legs or feet. So we are all part of him. And it is the duty or natural function of the part to serve the whole. Now, if someone is engaged in Varnashram Dharma, but Nabhajanti does not worship the Supreme Lord, Abhajananti, or worse still, deliberately disrespects the Supreme Lord, Stanam Rashta, he falls down from his position, Patanti Adha, and you could say he goes to hell. Now, in the purport to this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the root cause of disrespecting the Supreme Personality of Godhead is failure to respect the spiritual master. When one fails to properly respect the spiritual master who gives instructions about the Supreme Lord and the living entities' natural, eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, he will gradually become independent. He'll become infested with atheistic ideas. He'll stop following the rules and regulations, and eventually become just like an unregulated animal, engage in sinful activities, and go to hell. So here we find the same principle stated in a positive way. King Prithu is advising his citizens to act in Varnashram Dharma in the mood of service to the Supreme Lord, for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And now he's saying they should serve and worship Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, because he knows that it's by their association and their mercy that one is able to awaken one's desire to serve the Lord. And to the contrary, if one offends a Vaishnava or Brahmana, one will fall down. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in these purports, the best of the Brahmanas or the Vaishnavas is the spiritual master. And therefore, the worst offense is to offend the spiritual master. And therefore, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, by serving and pleasing the spiritual master, one serves and pleases the Supreme Lord. And yasya prasada nagatikutoki, if one offends the spiritual master and loses his mercy, one loses the mercy of the Supreme Lord and falls down and down and down. So, there are many important instructions in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is coming to a conclusion. But this is the essence, that we should act to please the Supreme Lord. And to achieve that goal, we should worship and serve God. the devotees, and on the other side, avoid, like the plague, disrespecting or offending devotees. Now today, the temple room is fuller than usual. Much as I would like to believe that it's because the news spread that I was giving the class, my intelligence cannot believe that hypothesis. It seems to be because today is the first day of the new year, and people want to begin the new year in the best way, which is very good. And they want to come to see the deities, Gaur-Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shamsukha, and Vrindavan. What could be better? And generally, in the new year, one makes one's new year's resolutions, which generally come in two categories. Things that I will do and things that I will not do. Do's and don'ts. And here, Sadhu Shastra and Guru Vakya tell us that there is one do, and if we do that, all the other do's are accomplished. And there is one don't, and if we don't do that, then all the other don'ts are accomplished. The one do is to always remember Krishna. And the one don't is to never forget Krishna. So this should be our resolution, that I will always remember Krishna and never forget him. But that raises some questions. Particularly, how do I always remember Krishna? And how do I avoid forgetting him? And the whole process of bhakti yoga, of vaidhi sadhana bhakti, is meant to support this effort to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And what we've been discussing every day in class is meant to support that effort to always remember the Lord and never forget Him. But Srila Prabhupada, going through all the different items of devotional service, Rupa Goswami enumerates 64 items of devotional service which support this effort to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Srila Prabhupada, extracting the essence, says that to always remember Krishna and never forget him, the devotee should chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily. He writes of all the spiritual master's instructions. The instruction to chant 16 rounds daily is most essential. Yesterday, we met a nice Vaishnav family from America, father, mother, and daughter. And the father very proudly, not in a bad way, but you know how parents feel proud of their children when their children do well, told us how when they went on parikrama in their first day in Vrindavan, his daughter was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on beads the whole way. And she finished all the 16 rounds. And it sounded like she was chanting 16 rounds every day. She's 15 years old. So Indranubhya Swami and I were together with this triad. And so he asked the girl, "Do you chant 16 rounds every day?" So she like looked down. And then the father said, "Well, when she's in Vrindavan, she chants 16 rounds every day." Well, that's actually good. I mean, someone may not be in a position to well, that's, but anyway, she's 15 years old and she has school and so many other things. But let us say that if circumstantially someone cannot chant 16 rounds a day, at least while they're in Vrindavan, they should chant 16 rounds, or whenever the opportunity allows. Granted that there could be exceptions, but definitely if someone is living in the association of devotees and engaged in service, he or she should chant 16 rounds. And there's one story, I've told it before, but there are many new faces here, of one European or American, maybe American or Australian fellow, somehow met up with our party when we were traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India. And before we had any temples, we're just traveling from place to place. And Prabhupada was speaking about Krishna. And the young man was quite humble, which was very nice. He would sit next to me in the, during prasad. And prasad was very simple then, pretty much basically just boiled rice and dal. And if we were lucky, maybe a dry chapati, maybe some simple boiled vegetable. And he would say, "Krishna definitely exists. Krishna definitely exists. Otherwise, how could someone as fallen as me get this nice prasad every day?" That's actually a rabbinical quality. In this section, Kirtu describes qualities of Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and one is grateful. So he was grateful for that simple prasad that he got every day. But one time he asked Srila Prabhupada, "If all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds?" He said, "For example, if it's late, and some man comes to our camp, and I have rounds to finish. So I can think, well, either I can chant my rounds, or I can attend to the visitor and maybe make him a life member. So, given that all service is absolute, why do I have to chant 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada replied, you get different explanations. Somehow that young man was insisting on this point. And Srila Prabhupada sat very straight and asserted himself in a way that he didn't usually do. And he said, why do you have to chant 16 rounds? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds. And he said, you're so worried about sleeping. Because he was saying, you know, embedded in his question about should I make the man a life member or finish my rounds, embedded in the question was the idea that he had to take rest. Otherwise he could have made the man a life member and stayed up and finished his rounds. But he wasn't seeing that option. He was seeing the option, I have to take rest, and before I take rest, I can do one or the other. And Srila Prabhupada said that you are so worried about eating and sleeping. You can eat and sleep all day long, but you must chant 16 rounds. So then, of course, all the other devotees in the room were smiling, like so many of you are smiling. And Srila Prabhupada looked at them and said, this is a special prerogative for him. In other words, this doesn't apply to everyone. So coming back to our New Year's resolutions, okay, always remember Krishna, never forget him. And crucial to that, according to Srila Prabhupada, is chanting 16 rounds. But some of us may just be starting. We may not immediately come to that level. So we can start with any number and gradually increase. We can start with one, or two, or four. And when we're comfortable at that level, then we can increase. And that will increase our spiritual strength, increase our remembrance of Krishna. And then on the don't side, there are things that work against our remembering Krishna. And those are basically prohibited activities, sinful activities, or offensive behavior. And the beginning, or the most basic, which Prabhupada calls the four pillars of sinful life, are eating meat, fish, or eggs, taking intoxicants, indulging in illicit sex, and gambling. So there too, it may be a gradual process. It depends. Some people, they come to Krishna consciousness, they just drop everything else. Or it might be a gradual process. In the early days in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Shyam Sundar, one of the best devotees who pioneered the movement. There's three couples, Shyam Sundar Malati, Gurudas and Jamuna, and Mukunda and Janata. So Shyam Sundar used to smoke. He used to smoke, I think, maybe two packs of cigarettes a day. So he explained his difficulty to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, every day you smoke one less cigarette. So I don't know how many are in a pack, but say there's 20 in a pack, and if you were smoking two packs, that would be 40. So that means, you know, decreases 39, 38, 37, and after 40 days, he's down to zero. And Chamsundar Prabhu did exactly what Srila Prabhupada said, and when he got down to zero, that was it. He never smoked again. So it's a gradual process. How gradual it is depends on the individual, but still, it's a gradual process. And we should make some resolutions, set some intention that will be favorable to always remembering Krishna and never forget him. If we, at our stage, say, I resolve to always remember Krishna and never forget him, well, that's a good goal, but can we really, at the present moment, always remember Krishna, never forget him? So that's our goal, but we should choose some, you could say, subordinate goals that will help us in achieving our ultimate goal. And in broad terms, something positive. I'll chant so many rounds a day. Reading is also very important. You know, I'll read something every day. One verse of purport. It's, you know, one chapter, one verse of purport, 1 hour. Even one page. There's so much in even one page of Srila Prabhupada's books. If you just read one page, okay, before I take rest of it, I'll read one page. You'll get great benefit. So on the positive side, the chanting and hearing, reading, and on the negative side, if we have some bad habits or qualities, try to give them up, reduce, and that, of course, it's very individual. Each of us will have to think of what would be most helpful in one's own case, and feasible to do. And then the prospects for the new year will be very bright. So, the prospects for me don't look too bright. I have to leave Vrindavan. But that can also be bright. It's hard, in a way, but that can also be bright if we use our time to chant and hear about Krishna, both individually and collectively. So that is a big topic. How to live in Vrindavan outside Vrindavan, how to keep the mood of Vrindavan even outside Vrindavan. But the essence is service. The mood of the residents of Vrindavan is to serve Krishna, to do whatever it takes to make Krishna happy. And that is also our mood outside Vrindavan, whatever it takes to make Krishna happy. So that includes getting up early, chanting our rounds, reading Prabhupada's books, and in a very special way, it includes sharing the message of Krishna with others. with new people, bringing new people to Krishna. That pleases Krishna the most. In today's verse we read, Vipra Priya. That means Krishna is very dear to the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, and the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas are very dear to Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that the way that you can become most dear to Him is by preaching His message. The preacher, you could say, is the best of the Brahmanas. The guru is the best of the Brahmanas, and every preacher is acting as a sort of guru. Varma, Pradarshaka Guru, Shiksha Guru, who's repeating the message of Krishna. Amaranya Guru Aitare Devshyare Dokitanita Krishna. So by repeating the message of Krishna, we become the best of the Brahmanas, we become gurus, and we become most dear to Krishna. Brahmins and Vaishnavas are already dear, but the preacher is the most dear. And only that activity can really justify our leaving Vrindavan, or by that activity we will maintain the mood of Vrindavan, and at least within our minds be in Vrindavan wherever we are. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? All right. Oh, yes. Yes. Wait for the microphone. You heard that Srila Prabhupada is very pleased when we chant 16 rounds at one stretch. That's ideal. That's ideal if we could get up early and chant 16 rounds continuously. That's the best. And generally that's most easily done early in the morning. I like to give the example of our godbrother, Sovas Prabhu, who's the temple president in Los Angeles. Because the Los Angeles temple has many devotees and many departments and many activities. And he's the ultimate authority. And devotees can come to him at any time. So he gets up by 2 o'clock every morning and he chants his 16 rounds before Mangalarti. Because after Mangalarti, although in principle we should be chanting, but in a big temple with many devotees and many departments of activities, there can be a problem even at 5 in the morning. And then once you get involved in dealing with the problems, you don't know when you'll get out of it. And he doesn't want to take the chance on having any rounds not completed. So he gets up at 2 and chants his rounds. We have another godbrother, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, who has a very big business, multi-million-dollar business. I think he does the same thing. Takes rest at 8, gets up at 2 and chants his rounds, sits down, chants all 16 rounds at a stretch. And then he's ready for the day. Not just he got the rounds out of the way, but he's, I think it's true of both of them. They're like enthused and enlivened and empowered for the rest of the day, because they begin by chanting their rounds at the beginning and stretch early in the morning. So that is good if we can do that. If it's possible, we can chant during the daytime. Chaitanya Sadhari, we should chant all the time. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, even when we're taking prasad, between mouthfuls you can chant. That's really good. Because remember, always chant whatever you're doing. Yeah. I remember once I learned a lesson from a Brijvasi. Jamal Krishna Goswami and I had the idea to acquire a property at Govardhan, which subsequently we did. And the property palace was a palace, modest palace for with the worship of Govardhan service. So the owner was the Maharaj of Chhatrapur, which is in Madhya Pradesh. He had two huge palaces, one in Chhatrapur, and then nearby was another place called Khajuraho. And so I went with a Brijvasi lawyer. And I thought it's good to have a lawyer. So he met the king. He was a very pious old man. He knew of ISKCON. He was very impressed with the Krishna Balaram temple. And he was happy with the idea of giving the palace to us. He said that actually if we had come a little earlier, he would have just gifted it to us. But he said, times are not so good for kings nowadays. So he needed some compensation. But what he asked for was a fraction of what it was actually worth. So, you know, the kings, they had so many properties, and sometimes they convert their properties into hotels or guest houses. So he had a small palace that he kept as a guest house. So he arranged for rooms for me and the Brijvasi lawyer. And, you know, I was trying to be like a strict devotee, and, you know, at about 8 o'clock at night, the king sent over, I would like to say a leaf plates, but it might have been newspapers. But anyway, just full of halava, hot halava, floating in ghee for a while, and puris saturated with ghee for a while, and a potato sabji, potatoes and bell peppers, soaked in ghee and spices. So I looked at this, I thought, wow, I mean, it's already 8 o'clock at night, 8:30 at night, I don't think I'm going to do this. So the Brijvasi lawyer, he said, have some it's prasad, which they said. I said, no, I don't think I can do it. He said, anyway, I'm Brijvasi, I like to eat. So he sat down and spread it out in front of him, and it was really relishing. So then the next morning, I got up early, maybe 4 o'clock. It was pretty cold. It was very basic facilities, but very primitive, like just like a closet with a tap, and you fill the bucket with the tap, and then you take the load out. It was cold. So I took my bath, and I was just holding my breath and just trying to get it over as fast as possible. And then I got dressed, and I was chanting my rounds in the courtyard of the guest house. There was Tulsi. I was thinking like how cold it is and so on. And I was also, and the Vrijabhasi friend, he was sleeping. So I'll just see. You know, at Puri's and Halibut at night, now he's sleeping. And I got up early and I took a bath and I'm chanting. So after a while, he got up, went upstairs and took his bath. And while he was in the water bathroom, he's singing. You know, I'm hearing him singing, Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda. When I took my bath, I wasn't singing Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, or even Hare Krishna. I was just thinking how cold it is and how I can adjust to the cold water and how I can cover myself with water but get out as quickly as possible. And even when I was in the courtyard supposedly chanting Hare Krishna, I'm thinking how cold it is. The Vrijabhasi's still sleepy, how I didn't eat the night before, how I got, you know, my mind was just filled with all sorts of rubbish. I wasn't chanting Hare Krishna at all. You know, externally I might have been doing something. Then that night, I don't want to like prolong it too long, but that night I had a dream. And in the dream, the Vrijabhasi was walking down a street. There's like a street very near that little guest house where they were selling samosas and things. And I don't know what happened, the king didn't send any lunch. So, you know, I was in the mood, well, I have to fast, you know, I have to take prasad. So, you know, the lawyer and I were sort of walking through the town on the way back to the king's palace to follow up on our discussions. And so we saw these stalls selling samosas and chutney. We thought, okay, I'm not Vrijabhasi, I'm not going to starve or conjure a hole. I'm going to have some samosas and chutney. So anyway, so that night I had a dream. And in the dream, the Vrijabhasi was on that road, that little road, eating samosas and singing, Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. And I was getting the idea that this is the message, that it's the consciousness. I mean, yeah, as a rule, we only take prasad, we don't eat a heavy meal at night. So many things that are meant to help us remember Krishna. But the real thing is remembering Krishna, not all those other things. And I saw that Vrijabhasi, he was actually remembering Krishna. Yeah, he was eating puris and halva at night, and eating some also the chakya and the street is remembering Krishna. So this is not to suggest that we should imitate Vrijvasis or... But it's just to make the point that the real thing is to remember Krishna and not forget things. And being, you know, following the rules and regulations, but in a mood of like being proud, thinking you're better than others, that's not favorable. We should be humble. That's another quality of Brahmins, Vaishnavas, to be humble. And in the mood of appreciating all other devotees and serving all other devotees. And that will be very favorable. Hare Krishna. All right, we'll end now and wish you all the best in the year to come and for all eternity. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaura Nithai ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shamsakya ki jai. Gaura Bhaktam ki jai. Ki jai.